You're listening to Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Lakshdatta. This episode is from day one of Jaipur Lit Fest 2023, and it's called The Queen of Indian Pop. Usha Uthup and Trish Dijha in conversation with Sathya Saran.
In my many years, I have wanted to be here and to be a part of this wonderful, wonderful event. And now I get to be with Usha, whom I have known for many years, 50 years, yes. But it was only when I read this book, I came to know the real Usha. And we are going to talk about the real Usha behind the wonderful music. I heard you last night. And we are going to hear you again today. We're not going to let you go without making you sing. Right. I'm actually saying I don't mind not asking three questions if you will sing two songs. Right. So let's begin at the beginning. Srushti, I want to start with you because it's about the book.
Yes.
So tell me, how easy or how difficult was it to do a translation of a book written in Hindi about a South Indian? So you had to traverse two worlds. First, the world of the language, and then the world of the South, which is, for a lot of North Indians, an unknown territory.
Yes.
So you've written things like Pattu Pavade and Tair Sadam, which I don't know how many people here will understand what it means. So how did you do this?
So I would like to start with when my father started working on the Hindi book. So I was a part of that journey. I would read chapters along with him, and he would share these wonderful anecdotes. You know, it's like behind this enigma that we know as a superstar and the queen of Indian pop. So I was a part of that narrative from the very beginning. But at that point of time, you know, it's like me doing the English translation of this book was, you know, absolutely out of picture. Like, we hadn't really thought about it. But, you know, as I was a part of the narrative and I got to know Usha Uthup's journey, you know, like how it started with how Usha was born and how she was named Usha, you know, which means, you know, it's like the early morning. And, you know, it's like how, you know, it's like little Usha, then, you know, it's like Usha as a young woman, Usha as a wife, Usha as a mother, Usha as a, you know, like a superstar, a pop star. And, you know, it's like her journey as a woman really, really, you know, it actually touched my heart. And I've been somebody, you know, it's like I'm a modern woman, but I also really, really value tradition. So, you know, as I was kind of going through her story and as I was translating each and every word that my father wrote in Hindi, it was beautifully carved and it had a lot of fragrance as to how, you know, like he actually weaved her story. So Usha Uthup to me is the perfect balance between modernity and tradition. So, you know, it's like that's how I was able to relate to her and to really understand the journey of a woman as to, you know, it's like what all she goes through to fulfill her dreams and to fight all these notions set by the society. And, you know, it's like people constantly telling her that, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, or you have a different voice. Or, you know, it's like how she was not, you know, it's like in school, she was not somebody who was taken for a beautiful or a, you know, it's like, or a very melodious voice. But, you know, it's about the courage and the strength that she held, you know, as a person, as a woman. And, you know, it's like that's how she's lived her life with utmost grace, respect, integrity. And, you know, it's like she's like this dreamy, curious child who still, you know, still actually wonders about a lot of things about life, about people. So honestly, she's the youngest person I know at this point of time.
Ooh, that's
and
wonderful.
She's 75.
Wonderful.
So, you know, like her connect with youth, you know, a singer who's been relevant across 5 decades, you know, like I see like 18-year-olds dancing on, you know, like Rambha Ho or Shaan Se or Koi Yaha Nache Nache. It fills me with utmost pride And, you know, like, it actually adds to the respect that I have for her, that, you know, you don't really have to stand out in a very loud or, you know, it's like a very exterior rebellious way. You can also just keep on doing your work and keep on loving your craft, and you'll be. And Usha Uthup is the perfect example of that. So I think women across generations, you know, will actually relate to her story.
I'm going to come to that. Usha, we were listening to you last night. And you know, one thing that always comes to us when we listen to you, and I think my audience will agree, is that great joy that you communicate. I think that is your philosophy of life. And I read a little incident about how when you were making manja, you know, and you became the kite, and you said, I will always fly high like a kite. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the kite flying girl.
Tell us about that.
Yes, hi everybody. Namaskar, namaskaram, sat sri akal, salaam alaikum. It's, you know, for me, it's so amazing to be sat over here with Srishti, who's written the book, and Satya. Now, we've already got so many generations, right? And I think it's just fabulous when, you know, you talk to me about a book. For me, it still hasn't really set in that somebody would want to write a book about me. And when it was written first in Hindi by Shri Vikas Kumar Jha, I felt so amazed because, like most people, they would think that a nightclub singer ought to be written in English first. So roles reversed and Srishti did the translation. It was so amazing to know that father and daughter team is doing this. And you know, to do, as you asked her about the how difficult it was, for me it must have been such a humongous task because the Hindi is so bejeweled with lyrical language, and I kept wondering, how is Srishti ever going to be able to do something like that with his, with the kind of words that you can use in Hindi, which is so difficult to translate in any other language, like all languages, I think. But Srishti has done, you know, even as I say it, has done such a marvelous job of this, really. And there are certain parts in it which I couldn't believe, really, that I did this, like the manja, you know, this kite flying thing. Actually, I, for those of you who don't know about kite flying, in India, it's a big thing, you know, to be a good kite flyer, and even better, to make manja. And I made my own manja for my brothers. Of course, they didn't give me even 2 annas from their pocket money, but I made manja for them. And I used to break all the old bulbs in the glass bottles and, you know, break it and make it into a little mishmash with maida, that is corn flour. And, you know, then I would roll it up and put a little bit of red or cochineal, the color from the little kitchen that we had, and I would run the manja. Can you imagine, kids today, would we ever allow our children to use glass pieces like that? But my mother and father, well, we just grew up just like that. And, you know, I don't even know my father or mother ever telling me, don't do this, don't do that, or sit down to study. Today, everybody's talking about all that. So I think the kite flying thing came because my brothers wanted me to make such good manja. And I really made fantastic manja. My brother's kites always cut all the other kites in the compound and nearby compounds. So I think from then I thought to myself, well, I have to fly high. You know, I'm a Scorpio, if any of you would remember. I'm 8 November, so if you feel like sending me a birthday card or email, I'd be very happy. I love receiving cards and good wishes, yeah? You feel like. 8 November, Scorpio. And Scorpio is one of the only signs that has 2 symbols. One is the lowly scorpion and one is the flying eagle. So I guess all of you think and know that I did and I am the flying eagle only because all of you have been with me for so many years. So flying high is what it's all about. You know, you aim for the skies, you might just reach the treetops. But
well, you're much higher than that.
Yes, you have to be.
Well, my next question is also to you. Tell us a little bit about your sisters, the Sami sisters, who were singing much before you in English, but very safely in the police academy and in the canteen there, and how you would watch and you would even get them ready, you know, arrange the pleats, just as your pleats were arranged now in the green room.
It's true. Actually, my two, I come from a very musical family, and my father was in the police. We have a very, very middle-class upbringing. But my sisters used to, they're the original singing Sami sisters in India. There have never been anybody like them. They're wonderful singers, Indira and Uma. And they did a kind of a duo, you know. They would sing songs like, oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we travel along singing a song side by side. Well, they were there and I was a little girl. Yes, thank you so much. Whenever you feel like clapping, just clap. For me, all your every aapki har ek taali hamare liye aashirwad hoti hai, to sabhi shilpiyon ke liye, really. So my sisters, I'm talking so fast because this wretched thing is going on, ticking away, and I'm dying to be with all of you. Yes, but we want to be obedient today. And though I just saw Sanjay Roy walking through and walking away, so he's the boss. So we have to say thank you to him. Well, it was amazing. I used to listen to my I used to watch my sisters wearing a sari and then going to sing in the police club and things like that. But they never really did it, you know, professionally. And if you know what I mean. And I was all of 9 or 10. So I truly wasn't inspired by them. I was in awe of them and admired them. And the age difference at that time, you know, when you're small, when you're little, a 12-year gap is a huge, but as you grow older, that gap becomes much smaller. And then I tried to get the Sami sisters to do a show again together. It's been very, very tough because they all went their own way. And so whenever we do get together, the Sami sisters, if you thought of the Spice Girls anywhere, well, you can hear the Garam Masala Girls with the Sami sisters. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lovely title for another book. Yeah. On the three of you.
I'm just thinking of so many things that Srishti is going to be writing because, you know, she's just amazing, and it's going to be really wonderful. First of all, I want to say thank you to JLF for giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I just wanted so much to be a part of this festival and to be here with, you know, people who I've grown up with and people who've never heard me before, and to be with the Jaipur Lit Fest with Srishti is like a dream come true for me. I'm really, really happy because it really bridges the gap, the generation gap.
But Usha, the strange thing is that you never had musical training. And yet you just took off. And I want you to tell us that lovely story about Nine Gems and how you were asked to sing and you never looked back after that.
Yes, actually, I was thrown out of class. My music teacher, Miss Davidson, said that she couldn't fit me in anywhere in the choir, but they all knew that I had little music in me. And so I didn't feel really bad when Miss Davidson told me, you know, Sami, she used to call me Sami, Sami, get out of my class because we can't find a slot for you. Contralto, alto, soprano, nowhere, nowhere. So I said, okay. And I stood on the side. Of course, my lips did twitch a little bit and I was a little sad at that moment. But I was fine after she gave me the triangle to play ting, 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 and then clappers and things like that. So she knew I had music in me. And I grew up like that. Actually, I realized very early in my life that it was not music that was my business, but communication. And how better could I communicate with everybody while I'm on the stage? And in Nine Gems, when my aunt took me out for a treat to a little nightclub called Nine Gems in Madras, she just got up and said, "Why don't you sing, Usha? There's a band over here." So I got up and sang. I'm always ready for a challenge. And I got up and sang, and everybody was quite surprised because I was dressed in a sari, and there was a, you know, four-piece band. And so actually, I'm the original, what shall I say, unplugged singer. Like they think it's a big deal now, I'm the original one. I come from a space when we never knew what was stereo or anything like that. You just sang, no in-ear monitors, no monitors, no nothing. But we sang, and I sang, and they played. And the first song that I sang was, never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you touch, you give me fever. You give him a fever, but so hard to bear. You give him a fever. Yes. Of course, the kids today, all the children say that Madonna recorded this song. And I said, yes, she did record it, but I recorded it in 1969. So like that's like a history book. Yeah, come on, that really needs a hand. As you would read about it in the book that Srishti has written, when she showed me the book and asked me about how they're going to name it, I was so embarrassed to be called the Queen of Indian Pop. So I didn't know if this was the correct name. But then after some time, I said, hey, what the hell? Actually, I am the first one who started it in India. So whatever you want to call it, but yes, this is where it started, and I won't let you forget it. Because this is where it started, the sari, the flowers, the bindi, and my Kanjivaram sneakers, which you can't see now because you got a board over there, and on this side the minutes are just ticking, the seconds are going. Yeah, you want to see my Kanjivaram shoes? I'll show it to you afterwards in somebody else's time. How about that?
Well, we're going to talk about your Kanjivaram shoes a little later, and I'm warning you, if you suddenly see me dancing on stage, it'll be a first for JLF, and it'll be Usha's fault. Completely Usha's fault. You sing like that, and my feet start tapping.
Whoa.
Well, I wanted to ask you about how did your family react? I know how they did, but the audience doesn't. To your singing at Trinkas, because it was a nightclub, how did Calcutta react, and how did you change the entire perception of singing in nightclubs and nightclubs, make them decent, and pop for that matter? How did you change all this?
Oh, that's such a lovely question, actually. How did I change the concept? Actually, nothing was pre-planned. Nothing, in fact, in my life is pre-planned. Everything has just happened by mistake, shall I say, and thank God for the mistake. I started singing in Trinkas, and if you say, how did my family take it? Actually, I think one must have a really strong infrastructure of a good family support. And my family never, ever, till today, I think like my son says, Amma, you might just make it. And the whole crowd is shouting, Usha, 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 everybody's so happy. But my son thinks I might just make it, okay? So I think the balance comes from that. When you have a completely grounded family, my husband, for example, he's very, British upper lip, stiff upper lip. And when you ask him, the whole crowd is shouting for Usha. And I say, John, how did you like this show? He said, not bad, actually. So you see, you kept grounded from my father's side and, everybody and my husband. It's just amazing. If you have a good, strong foundation with your family, I think half your battle, life's battle, is won. And for everybody who thinks that, when husband and wife, I'm so happy that in the 10 years into my marriage, I thought, John, what's happened? We don't talk. Why don't you come for my shows? You don't love me anymore. Some rubbish like that. And he just stuck to it. And now I think after 50 years, thank God, he didn't come for my shows. Can you imagine him being able to face all this? Yeah, he wouldn't be able to. And more than anything else, I think he helps by not helping. Yeah. He's never interfered in my life, never made me feel that I was doing something wrong or singing in a nightclub, as also my parents and my brothers and sisters. So I think you must have people around you who think positively like you. And everybody knew that I was doing it with complete passion. And really, I didn't, as my audiences said, and they say even now, that they love me just the way I am. So I never really had to change and do something different just because I was singing in a nightclub.
Right. And I just wanted to, I'm going to cut three questions down now and go straight down to the lovely story of the pandan. There is that story of the pandan which you still have in your home.
Yes.
And which is a symbol of a friendship you treasure.
Yes. Actually, you know, I grew up in Bombay and I sometimes wonder when I think of days today and those days, the only thing I find is that in those days when I grew up in Bombay, I really never knew any difference in religion, okay? Never. I grew up with Muslims, with Pathans as my neighbors, and I was so involved with Jamila and, you know, my neighbors. My brothers used to tease me and say, she goes to school, she becomes a Christian nun, she goes to the neighbors, she becomes a Muslim. And, you know, I was really, really influenced by my neighbors. I mean, I learned how to stitch shalwar kameez from them. I make the best shalwars in the world, even though I say so myself, because the shalwars don't go like, it goes straight, yeah. So if you feel like clapping, a pop singer, stitching, I think that's a great thing, and I'm very, very proud of that. But the pandan was something so special to me, which Ammijan used to have in front of her. But even more exciting than that is the one which she's written about. I was so involved with my, you know, with my neighbors. I think that's what made me listen to a lot of Hindi music as well. And I was very, very keen to give, to belong. That's my whole thing, is to belong to people, belong to everybody. And I wanted to belong to them as well. So on Eid, I went to Gloria Church and I picked up my own card for to say Eid Mubarak to Abba, who we called Abba, the father over there. And it was all written in Urdu, and I was very pleased with myself, and I went and presented it to him. And everybody laughed, and Jamila laughed, and she said, what have you done, Usha? I said, why, what did I do? It turns out that the card said, Mere Mehboob. And I didn't know about it, but I was too excited. And the pandan, I still have it with me. I still learn how to, I mean, knew how to cut the supari with the sarota, and it was just fantastic. So I think the influences that we had when we were youngsters, I think that's missing at the moment here in India. And not only in India, I think all over the world, where religion seems to play such an important part, especially where we are in India. I think it's the most amazing country in the whole world. So much of diversity and yet so much of unity. And I think JLF is truly, truly an example of a mini India, or shall I say a mini world today. Really.
Mini world, because we have mini so world. Many countries here.
All over the world, people right. come over to JLF.
Right. Yeah. And JLF goes all over the world.
So fantastic.
Anyway, you know, you were known as the Jingle Queen. I'm asking you this as a personal question, as someone who's knew another Jingle Queen, Chitra Singh.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And Jagjit Singh. They were all jingle singers with you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not in the book, but do you have an anecdote to share?
Oh, plenty. Actually, you said Chitra Singh. One of the first jingles that Jagjit Singh sang with me. What a fantastic voice. It was a song before that. I had already sung the jingle. And it went like, Itne ujle kapde kiska hai kamal, Tino Pal. Do you remember that one? Kapde kitne na 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 Tino Pal, that was mine, ladies and gentlemen. And when it changed to Rani Pal, I sang it with Jagjit Singh. So it was so amazing. But I was called the Jingle Queen because my consonants, thanks to Miss Davidson, the ending words, I mean the consonants, were always correct. Like I would say life. She would insist on the last K or C being pronounced properly, you know. So that's why I became so important in the advertising world. And there was a song, well, I did that. I'm the first Indian to sing a Coke jingle, which says, things go better with, I go better with, you go better with Coke. That was mine. And why are you going on that? Don't go. Sit. Give them a big hand, ladies and gentlemen. They sat down. We love you. Don't go, really. Just a short session. And Another one was daytime dreaming, evening scheming to get away. It can be any time, but you can come alive your special way. To please yourself and everyone else till the next smog comes your way. It's the come alive, come alive, come alive taste of Nescafe. Yeah. And then more recently, happy days are here again. Thumbs up. That was mine. And more recently was a person called Suresh Malik who came up to me one day. We've worked very much together with Ogilvy and Mehta. He came up to me and he said, Usha, what do you do when you have a sore throat, okay? Think deep and think hard and come out with a word. I don't want a proper word. I just want, what do you feel inside? So he went out, had a drink, and he came back to my studio, and he said, did you think hard and did you think deep? I said, yes. He said, what's the word? What's the sound? I said, actually, it goes like kitsch kitsch. He said, yeah, that's the word we want. And what do you feel inside? Think deep, think hard. He went out, had a drink, came back. Did you think deep? I said, yes. He said, what do you feel? I said, and he said, yes, that's what it is. Gale mein kich kich, gale mein kya karu? Vicks ki goli lo. Correct. That's mine too. And of course, now recently, Amul. Lots of it is happening. So yes, I love doing jingles and I love doing films whenever I get an opportunity. And I know, with someone sitting like Srishti looking so beautiful, Bob, Ribob. Yeah, she should be the one in the films actually. But no, I love doing ad films as well. So if you've seen anything or if you want me to do something, please quickly contact me.
But you have done some amazing songs. I mean, my favorite is Mr. Naidu, Girmatjana. Right. So which is your favorite?
Oh, I have so many favorites. My favorites, you would probably say that I'm a diplomat or sitting on the fence.
Scorpios are never diplomatic.
No. I'm not. Oh, hi. Tell me, what shampoo do you use for your hair? That's Sanjay Roy over there. Thank you so much, Sanjay, for inviting me here. Love you. Okay. So, what's my favorite song? My favorite song is what my public likes, what my audience likes. At that time, whatever it is, I love singing what you really enjoy. But I think one of the most favorite songs, most of them, like she said already, is Ramba Ho, one of them. Then there's Kali Teri Gutt Tippa Randa Tera Lal Ni Aho. Aho, that's right. And I was, also another first. The first South Indian girl singing a Punjabi song, which became such a big hit before any of the others came up and sang their Punjabi songs. So I feel really happy about that. I must say thank you to Asa Singh Mastana for giving me this song, Kali Teri Gutt. And then many other English songs which are favorites.
I'm going to end now with one last question. Srishti, I'm so sorry. I've dropped one question for you.
Sure.
But you have in your book very clearly given a message to Indian women on how to stand up for themselves. And I have been editor of Femina, so I think there's a link there.
Yes, absolutely.
So why don't you share that?
You share it. Ask her. Because I think as far as women are concerned, I mean, I keep saying to everybody, there's no point in shouting out and, fighting with the men and saying, we want equality and we want this and we want that. Because it's never going to be. It's never going to be. Because as long as we decide that we accept that every woman's issue is truly a man's issue. And I think we need to walk hand in hand and realize that man without woman and woman without man is not God's plan, really. So I think we need to walk together, work together, think together, and solve these problems instead of being part of it.
I think we speak the same language because that's what I used to do. I used to try and liberate the men from their old ideas.
That's a good one.
So now let's come down to listening to your music. Let's have a few songs.
Okay, before that, we change the format a little bit. I want to ask Srishti one question before anything else, okay? Before I get into my song. So how do I have to cross my legs and sit like...
You've got 16 minutes.
Okay,
so
quickly.
You want to sing or you want to
Srishti
ask?
Srishti Jha, tell me one thing. How did you ever imagine that we would, I mean, this would become such a big hit, your book. The authorized version.
I always knew it was going to be such a big hit because it has you.
Oh, darling. That is so sweet. Really wonderful. No, but I never ever imagined that something like this would happen and that Srishti would write my book. Thank you so much, Srishti. If people haven't really said it to you publicly, I'm saying it today to you, that it's been really amazing having her write this. But if you all could read Hindi, I read it slowly, but if you could all read Hindi as well, it would be even nice. Nicer. It's called Ullas Ki Naav. Nicer because it's such a difficult thing, such a difficult act to follow. I don't know how you did it. So it's really great.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This podcast is produced by Launchora in association with Teamwork Arts. Please follow or subscribe to this show wherever you're listening to this to be notified about new episodes.